Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. It is Wednesday, April the 4th, says my iPhone. April the 4th, Wednesday, and we appreciate you joining us today on the program. You got, in case you're wondering, you got 11 days left. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Hey, good morning. That reminds me, I got to send in my extension. I always extend on April before April, but you got to send it in.
How long does it take the IRS to say tell you we grant you an extension?
Oh, it's automatic.
Oh, it's automatic.
Okay. It's automatic.
How long does that last? 3 months or something?
No, like till October. It used to be just 3 months.
Okay,
but now it's October, and I started doing this years ago because I read somewhere on the internet that you're less likely to get audited if you file in October.
So, the secrets of the IRS. Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
What are you about to say to Brother Ed over here?
Brother Ed, are you worried about something?
No, it's a pain. I've been audited. You ever been audited?
Never.
No.
It's a pain. I think I've said this on air. And I just want to say the IRS.
Well, now you're saying it.
The IRS field agent was very nice. You know, all these horror stories. But you got to have all your, which I'm pretty precise in my documentation. And they just picked a year. It was 2009 or something, and I got audited, and they wound up owing me $54. I did. At the end of it, she said, well, we owe you $54. I said, you want to do 2010? She said, no.
Now, why'd they pick you?
It's just random.
It was just random.
No, I think it's the name.
Well,
You're picking on me because I'm Greek-Italian.
Yeah.
That's what Ed told
them. Come on. You know that's true.
If you're going to find $56 in my favor, I want you to pick on me again.
Yeah, that's right.
But she wouldn't. I said, how about let's do 2010?
Right.
I kept really good records.
All right. Walker Wildman's also with us. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I am here.
You haven't been audited yet, have you?
I have not, but I've been enjoying y'all's conversation about auditing.
Well, you know what we're talking about, right?
You're talking about taxes.
Internal Revenue Service?
Yes, I filed my taxes. Everything's done.
You already done all that? Mm-hmm. You're one of those guys hoping to get some back.
That's right.
Those are the guys who file
I'm
early.
I'm still young and still poor, so I still get back.
All right.
It's like a double-edged sword, because if you make more money, you pay more, or you start paying.
Yeah.
But
really noted.
If you stay poor, then you get money back. So which one do you do?
Well, it's not really a double-edged sword. It's a sword plunged in your heart. That's all it is. Walker, just get used to the constant, the constant frustration with life and the constant loss of money. The older you get, the more people have their hands in your wallet.
So today's Happy Wednesday.
It's Happy Wednesday.
Ed said,
"Your misery will only increase, young man."
Wow, Ed, just killing the spirit of the 24-year-old lad. He's just started with a new baby and a new wife and. His only wife, by the way, not a new wife.
What an encouragement. It only gets worse.
It gets worse. It's all downhill from here, pal.
Kiss for luck, and we're on our way. You want to start singing?
Well, we're moving on down to the basement.
Okay.
All right, sorry. I had too many Diet Cokes
already. Let's rein this show in right here. If you're listening to Today's Issues, you can also watch the show. Right, Walker?
That's right. YouTube, Today's Issues Live on YouTube. Also, Facebook, you can watch the show there. Two ways to watch the show. And you can always listen online at afr.net, or by downloading our American Family Radio app on your mobile device.
Okay. And you can listen anywhere in the world there. So check us out on the internet. Watch the show, comment on the program, and Walker's also going to post all the stories that we discuss here on the show on our Today's Issues Facebook page, and check us out on YouTube. Type in Today's Issues live streaming. Speaking of YouTube, they had a shooting incident yesterday at their headquarters, Fred?
Yeah, they did, and it was interesting following this when I left the office late yesterday afternoon,
this incident at the YouTube facility there in San Francisco. It was being described as an active shooter. And then the story evolved, and this is what they were reporting, that it was a domestic dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And people were jumping to all kinds of conclusions that, you know, an employee in there was a spouse of somebody and they had a fight. It had absolutely nothing to do with any of that. What we now know is that a woman who happens to be a animal rights individual.
Activist.
Activist. She was in the habit of making videos, sending videos, putting them on YouTube to help her cause. And they decided to demonetize her. She was making some money off of these videos. And it's not that she was making videos, but I have to give you an example. One of the videos she put up that was very offensive was of somewhere in the world people boil dogs. Okay, that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah.
So anyway.
She wasn't in favor of that.
No.
She was against that. She was showing that to expose the cruelty.
To animals.
That's what I understand.
Yes, that is correct.
Just to clarify.
So anyway, YouTube decided to demonetize her. In other words, she can't make money off of these videos anymore. Her dad has now talked to authorities and said she was livid about this, and she decided to get herself a weapon and go to these YouTube headquarters and just open fire, random fire. It wasn't aimed at a particular individual. Three people were wounded, and she shot herself, and that was the end of that story. But as I say, journalistically speaking, it was absolutely amazing. I think the left was ready to call out, you know, the NRA is the problem here. Domestic violence, it must be, you know, a white male who's mad at the world. They were starting to paint this scenario, and it had absolutely nothing to do with any of those things.
Do they not have strict gun laws in California?
Very strict.
And this woman, I wonder if she violated those gun laws. Or, you know, does she not know you're not supposed to murder people?
I think she's Fred, probably aware of that.
Yeah. And she did it anyway?
She made a decision. She made a decision based on her anger that she had the right to go in and take vengeance on innocent YouTube employees.
I'm being facetious a little bit here to make a point. She knew, you know, gun. They're going to say, I don't know if they're going to come out with the, you know, guns need to be, you know, gun
control. Background checks assault weapons.
Typical.
This was a handgun, wasn't it, that she used?
Mm. Oh, so we're going to get, so this doesn't fit the, this is not going to help the anti-gun, or the pro-gun control narrative.
Well, it might because they don't like handguns.
Yeah.
They don't. But what your to your point is, would any of the laws that are constantly being suggested have stopped her?
Yeah. You know, the other thing about this, Walker, is that I don't know. It has been exposed now for all the world to see. The onion layers have been pulled back. Not that a lot of us had to guess much. These folks, a lot of these folks who are driving this gun control debate are flat out against the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and want it repealed. So they're finally coming forward. They feel confident enough now to even start talking about that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Used to, they would say, no, we're for only, you know, this law or that law, which would, you know, stop this or stop that. When we all sort of knew that if behind closed doors at the coffee shop when they're by themselves, they're talking about, man, can you believe we allow people to walk around with guns in this country? That's what they're really opposed to.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And look, historically, for thousands of years, humans have been murdering humans. For thousands of years, if there was some magical solution like banning certain types of devices, then wouldn't we have already done that?
Mm-hmm.
And so it just proves that in a nation with a constitution and a nation with the right to self-defense and to right to bear arms, which our founding fathers laid out for a reason, the fact that the idea that you might can take up enough guns or pass enough laws to prevent murderers from carrying out their acts, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. So if someone wants to harm someone whether it be enough. With a gun, a knife, a bat, or an axe, they're going to do it. Or a car, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this: so people make money. If everybody out there listening knows this already, and they're like, "Where have you been?" I understand that, but I have known people. I'm just asking this sort of as a rhetorical question. People make money off creating YouTube videos.
Creating videos.
YouTube, if enough people watch it, I think.
If you get enough people that watch the videos, then YouTube will put money in your bank account.
And also, people who create videos will ask the viewers to subscribe. Yeah. So there's different. There's more than one way to make money.
So you subscribe. Do you subscribe? Is a subscription free, or do you have to pay for it?
Well,
or both.
You can watch videos for free on YouTube,
which is all I've ever done.
But for example, like Ben Shapiro or someone like that may say, "Hey, if you'd like to subscribe to my YouTube channel, I might have some additional content and those kind of
premium
things.
Stuff."
Yeah, that I think that's the way it works.
Well, the other way they're making money too is that if your video is popular enough, you can sell time on your video. In other words,
the ad space in the front
of
the video.
You know, you get that.
I've seen that.
You click on the go thing, and you get an ad first.
You can skip this ad in 3, 2, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I got you. Also, but so this what this amounts to? We don't know the legitimacy of her complaint about YouTube cheating her, basically. But that's what motivated her anger towards YouTube. That's what made her go in yesterday. She was filled with rage because she felt like she had been robbed. Is that right?
As far as we know at this point.
Yeah. YouTube, I don't believe, did anything wrong here. They're a private company. They have standards for the types of videos that people show.
Right.
And they just decided her videos were getting too graphic, assuming this. Therefore, we're pulling your right to put your videos on our site.
Gotcha.
And so she wasn't making money.
She drove from San Diego to San Francisco. Is that right?
San Bruno or whatever it's called. Is it San Francisco where this happened?
She's from San Diego. So
San Bruno was where this YouTube office was.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred is the caravan of Honduran people who were coming up to Mexico planning to enter the U.S. illegally. The 1,200 to 1,500 supposed, that was the number I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what's the latest on that?
Well, yesterday, President Trump, this is becoming kind of standard for this president. He was holding a meeting with leaders from the Balkan states, but he invited the reporters in for, you know, pictures. But now what's become habit with President Trump is he turns it into a news conference about other issues. So these folks from the Balkans are all sitting around this big table at the White House, and he's answering questions. And one of the questions he was asked about is this group coming up and obviously what he's going to do with regards to enforcing our southern border. And so he did say that I guess he had been in contact with Mexican officials. And he said, I think he used the term, it was breaking up. This caravan was breaking up. And he actually thanked Mexican officials for helping out in this. However, he still believes, obviously, and this was part of this impromptu news conference yesterday, that our southern border needs help. And that you're going to see more of these people still trying to enter our southern borders illegally. And so he tweeted out this morning, President Donald Trump pleaded out this morning. He pledged, quote, strong action today on immigration a day after he said he wants to use military to secure the U.S.-Mexico border until his big, beautiful wall is erected. The early morning tweet from the president said this, our border laws are very weak and said Democrats stand in our way of new laws. He added, quote, we will be taking strong action today. Now, the hint that we have is that we're going to see National Guard troops down on the border. And also, while the other thing that's happened that's somewhat related to this, there was a story, and it kind of got buried behind everything else yesterday, that the president and some members of Congress the headline was this, may seek to rescind some of the spending package. Now, I didn't know that you could do that, but the story says the idea centers on a rarely used provision of the 1974 Congressional Budget and Impound Control Act. It allows the White House to propose rescinding funds and forces the House and Senate to vote on the issue. So I'm kind of putting these two things together here. If he is seeing support to withdraw, here's what's the base of the story. Members of Congress have been home for the last week on recess. They celebrate Easter, I guess, for a week and a half or 2 weeks. The story says the conservatives, Republicans, I'm not sure if they're any conservative Democrats, they have been catching heat from their constituents with regards to this big budget that was the omnibus bill. And so what has happened is they're coming back, and apparently they're looking at this 1974 Congressional Budget and Impound Control Act. They're going to sit down and look at some things they signed in there just a few weeks ago to this, what, $1.3 trillion, whatever it was. This is going to be very interesting.
Which none of them read.
Which none of them, 2,000 pages. Right. 2,000 pages.
No, Rand Paul did.
Rand Paul did?
I think he did.
In the 24 hours?
Well, he got to page 600 and had to go vote.
Yes.
He tried.
Because they released it, and then they're voting the next day.
Yeah. So I've got a feeling there's some stuff going on in the background there. Now, I don't know if it's going to lead to the president getting more than the $1.8 billion that he got out of this omnibus to build the wall. But I think, you know, we talked yesterday about his popularity going up, the latest Rasmussen poll, and we also said in that same poll the favorability view of the Congress is 15%. You start putting all these things together, and you may see why they're looking at this 1974 provision, that they may take a look at some aspects. I think the conservative Republicans are catching flack over not defunding Planned Parenthood. That's another issue that was in there. So I just find this very interesting.
But it would still have to be voted on.
Yes, sir.
Any kinds of changes.
Exactly.
And they're not going to get it past the Senate.
Right.
Because of the Democrats.
Now,
but add into that all the calls from the president over the last 10 days, the nuclear option.
That has to happen.
If they were to go back and tweak a budget they just passed, does that need a simple majority? Or or is it 60 votes?
I think on the filibuster question, it all goes back, does Mitch McConnell want to do away with that?
Okay, because I know that when President Trump first took office, there was some kind of process where within a certain amount of time frame, the new president can come in and strike down with a simple majority bills passed within the last 12 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's how they did a few things.
Excuse me. Pardon me, Walker. Did you?
I'm done.
Were you trying to connect that with the caravan? Or did I miss something here?
I think the caravan is kind of a passé issue. It was a bit of a catalyst for the president to come back to his border wall issue. I don't think this caravan is the big story that it was two or three days ago.
Okay, because it seems to dissolved.
Fizzled.
Well, it's splintering into smaller groups. My concern is that the smaller groups are going to try to cross the border at different places.
That's still
possible. Rather than
they're
all
doing that
one,
every day, aren't they?
Well, they are, but rather than all at one place where the president can put National Guard troops to block them.
Here's how I think this is going to work from what I'm reading. This is like a fact sheet on mobilizing U.S. troops in domestically.
Mm-hmm.
Our National Guard domestically.
Yes.
It looks like Title 10 is what would grant the president this authority. Title 32 grants the state governors the authority to utilize their state National Guard under state law. Mm-hmm. But Title 10, it looks like, allows the president through various situations to mobilize the National Guard in any state, federalize them essentially.
Right.
And he would be the commander in chief over them, but they can only, from what I understand, they can only defend our country against someone trying to enter or invade our country, such as an illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
They can't be used Well, they can be used in the case of a rebellion. But this, in this case, it would be used to apprehend people at the border.
John F. Kennedy used federalized the National Guard in Little Rock in the 60s to enforce desegregation. Am I right about that?
Yes, that's correct.
Here's the problem that the president might run into is you can as Walker correctly said, a state governor can call out state National Guard troops. The president can federalize National Guard. The question is, can he use regulars, the U.S. military? Can he send an armored division? And then the question, legal question, could he put him on the border at
here's what I'm looking
California
at
California.
Here's what this. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say there are legal questions about whether or not, because there's an act called the Posse Comitatus Act,
yes,
which is passed after the Civil War that restricts the use of the Army. I think the Air Force was added in the 50s. That restricts the use of the regular troops to enforce domestic policy in the United States.
Tell me, you probably remember this David Koresh,
yes,
incident. Bill Clinton was president.
Right.
And Janet Reno,
yes,
was the attorney general. She called out the military. Was it regular forces?
I don't remember.
This says who would perform the Title X duties outlined by the president. It says active component, comma, reserve component, and National Guard. Mm. So it could be a combination of all three.
Well, the bottom line is General Mattis, or one of them, I think it was him, who said it's the National Guard he's going to use on the border. Now, I don't know if that's just for this one situation with this, quote, caravan that's now, or if this is, he's saying no, ongoing, from here on going, till the wall gets built, I'm putting the National Guard down there. I don't know which it is.
I think it's the second one.
I think so, too, the latter.
And the National Guard, to answer the question, was the one that was used in Waco under Title 32.
Okay.
State active duty.
Okay.
Waco, Texas.
But the National Guard, while it's a division of the – it's part and parcel of the Army, right?
It is. It's reserve troops.
Yeah. But it's not – but the National Guard can be used as opposed to a U.S. – as opposed to what, an active – is there a difference between there's a difference between a National Guard individual and a active duty Army?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and so the National Guard are not only our reserves, as we saw in the Iraq War, but they also serve this purpose as being a backup for law enforcement to keep order
after hurricanes
So the question is, like, can you take the 24th Infantry Division, which is regular Army, and enforce domestic policy?
No.
Well, that's the legal question that would come up.
I don't want to see that.
No, and
do
so
you want to see that?
Well, was it the National Guard used in Little Rock?
Yes, Guard troops.
Now, I'm not opposed to the National Guard being used. I just don't want to see F-16s flying on the Mexican border.
Well, I think the only way you would see that is if we had a foreign invasion.
Yeah,
military invasion.
A military invasion, invasion, right. But not little 4'9" Hispanic women with children in their arms.
Yeah. No, this will be unarmed National Guard, probably.
Okay, well, I don't have a problem with that.
Probably. That's what Governor Perry did.
Very appropriate to use the National Guard to guard our southern border. I don't have a problem with that. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't want M1 Abrams and we talked about in the hall. You don't want Marines fully armed, roughing up.
No.
Honduran women with babies in their arms.
No.
Yeah.
Do you?
No.
Okay.
That's a disaster.
Okay. All right. Now, so we'll be back, and Josh McDowell will be with us in a few minutes. By the way, stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries.
In the certainly the last 20 years, and even more in the last, say, 8 to 10 years, we have seen mankind just have an overemphasis on the love of money, the love of themselves, the love of pleasure, the rush to hedonism, a lifestyle of pleasure.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, our June Spiritual Heritage Tour is full, and our September trip is filling up fast. So if you want to go with us to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon for our Spiritual Heritage Tour, you need to sign up soon. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of sites, including the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorials, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Arlington National Cemetery, and much, much more. For all the information on this tour, September the 19th through the 22nd, please go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information. And we also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. That's a separate trip, but we put them back to back in case you want to do both of those tours. Again, that's in September. For more information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Stearns from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. George Washington University has a problem with white Christian Americans. The university is hosting a diversity workshop to tackle what it calls Christian privilege. Organizers believe white Christians especially enjoy a privileged and easier life than non-Christians. Timothy Kane is on staff at the university's Multicultural Student Services Center. He's on a self-described mission to promote solidarity among the LGBT community and to expand diversity and inclusion. He also hosts workshops on heterosexual privilege, abled body privilege, socioeconomic privilege, and cisgender privilege. And look the last one up. Cisgender folks are people who identify with their birth sex. The idea there's such a thing as Christian privilege is laughable, especially in today's political climate where many people are publicly shamed for their beliefs, where gay rights trump just about everybody else's rights. But nobody wants to talk about LGBT privilege. I'm Todd Stearns.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, Josh McDowell, one of the greatest Christian apologists of the 20th century, who's still going in the 21st century, is going to be on with us in about 12 or 13 minutes, so you don't want to miss our interview with Josh McDowell. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Fred. You can watch the show on our Facebook page by just typing in Today's Issues live stream or just Today's Issues Facebook and watch the show there, and Walker's posting the stories that we've been talking about. Abraham Hamilton III is with us. Abe has his own show in the afternoons on American Family Radio. Hamilton Corner, right, Abe?
That's it. Yes, sir. 5 to 6 p.m. Central.
The Hamilton Corner. Abe is also a constitutional attorney. So you answer our question here. the National Guard, the military, used inside the borders of the United States. Ed made the note of a law.
Posse Comitatus Act. Mm-hmm. From 18.
Now that says that says, correct me if I'm wrong, Abe, that the U.S. military cannot be used for law enforcement purposes against U.S. citizens.
That is right. The U.S. military is not to be used as a domestic law enforcement agency.
But and there's everybody a difference. Agrees on, everybody agrees with that. That's the law, right?
Yes, everybody agrees that's the law.
Okay, but there's a difference between the National Guard and the U.S. military, the Marines, for example.
Yeah, the National Guard isn't considered conventional or regular military men as they would be understood. So
they could be used.
The National Guard could be dispatched to preserve our national borders.
Yeah, you know, the potential. I think this is that caravan that was on its way. Boy, I was thinking, man, this is going to be.
Has it disbanded?
I think so.
That's the latest we heard. Yeah. Well, the president was saying that yesterday.
Yeah, I keep reading different things that it's splintering into smaller groups, but still coming, or it's dissipated. I even read something where 400 were detained by Mexico for being in the country illegally. So I'm just saying, I'm not sure which story is accurate. This
three point. Of them, I think 300 went on vacation to Cancun. we got a couple hundred went to Vegas. So, I mean, they're disbanding by the moment.
But don't we have still today 1,200 people being arrested at the border on a daily basis?
That is right.
Yeah. Anyway?
Right. You know, which is why we need the wall, which most Americans agree and would like to see happen. That way we don't have this problem.
Right.
If you have a wall, it's a physical impediment that stops people. And that way you don't have to get into individual-to-individual combat, if you will, or conflict with people. You know what I'm saying?
You don't have to have the National Guard sitting around in Humvees.
No, right. And, you know, I was thinking when this story was starting to develop 2 or 3 days ago, I was thinking, oh, please let this not happen. Because I was thinking, nobody wants to see these poor Honduran people who are desperate being handcuffed. You know what I'm saying? That just looks bad. I know it's right. I know we don't want illegal. We don't want people coming here illegally. We want people to immigrate to America. We welcome people, but you have to do it legally. You have to have law and order. But still, nobody wanted to see, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As I described it, a U.S. Marine manhandling a 4'9" Hispanic woman with children in tow.
Right. Yeah.
That looks good for nobody.
Man, and I completely resent the assertion that America is a country that is hostile to immigration. We take more people into our country than any other country in the world.
Really?
Than any other country in the world. But you never know that because the lying media will never convey that. Right now, we are still taking in more people than anybody else in the country.
We just ask that you do it legally, right?
We just ask that you do it legally. Somebody asked me, well, Abraham, would there be a big problem amongst conservative radio if there was a caravan coming from across America's northern border? And I said, yeah, if they were coming illegally, it would be a problem. Right. And then I asked him a question. How many people are being arrested every day for attempting to cross the northern border illegally?
Right.
And that was the response that got crickets.
Oh, he freezed to death. That's one of the... Hey. We got a frozen wall between the U.S. and Canada. Go ahead.
Abe, in your opinion, what... do you know if the president... If the National Guard can have apprehension authority and if they can be armed on the southern border?
Well, we can authorize them. Congress can pass legislation. Things can be done to enable it. I think that's what the president was getting at when he was talking about we need to do some type of legislation to allow a rapid response. But I would be cautious in explaining the rules of engagement necessarily. I think most importantly, the president may attempt to provide a deterrent to people to continually coming to the country. And whether or not they disband it or not, it seems like that would be an additional deterrent if the people who are attempting to come to the country illegally would know, hey, by the way, there's National Guard stationed there. So
yeah, well, it's my same argument with the wall. You know, you build a wall and the word gets back to the people in Central America or Mexico who want to come here and cross our border illegally. You know, word gets back. Hey, you can go up there if you want to. Pay all that money to the coyotes if you want to. But when you get there, there's a 25-foot wall that you have to
and Border negotiate. Patrol, and you'll be arrested.
Right. Yeah. So you got all that working against you. Then most people are going to say, I'm not going to try that because it's not worth the effort.
And we know that's true because you saw the precipitous drop in the numbers of illegal attempted illegal crossers when President Trump took office. Mm-hmm. You know, that number of 1,200 was a precipitous drop from where it was before then. So that's just on word and the fact there's a new sheriff in the Oval Office. Well, you add to that a wall and this additional deterrent forces, right. Yeah, word would get back.
Yeah, right. My initial reaction is if we mobilize thousands of National Guard troops and using federal tax dollars to pay for it, and they have no apprehension authority, and they're not armed even with a pistol, to me, that's a waste of money. It may show force. It may prevent some. But I think it'll end up being a joke at the end because people will walk right by them.
Well, no, I would say, well, apprehension is not the same as detention. So what would keep them from detaining and notifying Border Patrol that we have some
No, I'm
here?
Good with that.
Yeah, so yeah. That's what I'm saying, why I'm cautious to cut a fine line as to what they would be able to do. Is there anything prohibiting them from being able to detain temporarily until Border Patrol comes,
yes.
who would have apprehension authority and would be able to proceed following? I think that would be part of the contributing factors to the deterrent.
And to Tim's point, and this is part of the chaos created by the Democrats, by the left,
right.
on this issue.
It's George Soros' mission, ultimately.
The optics of even having these big, strapping young men in military uniform,
right.
taking a young Honduran
right.
woman by the hand or by the arm
right.
while with her kids crying
because
of the scary, the scary gringos. Okay, that is just not going to look good.
But now,
and that's to me, that's part of the intent.
No, it's
going to
be. You know what the headline is right there? Trump's war on brown people.
Right.
Yeah.
that's what that headline you just described right
yeah.
there.
And I think that's the George Soros crowd, the open borders crowd, or the no borders
right.
crowd. They want that imagery.
Right.
They want
yeah.
those
right.
pictures.
They were hoping
yeah.
for this confrontation.
But I will say that other countries do have the military on their borders,
yes.
and they do apprehend, and they do it forcefully.
Yeah.
Yep.
Israel just shot. Now, I'm not. This is a whole different situation. They're way more
right,
hostile
right,
over
right.
there.
Protecting their borders.
Yeah, military on the borders.
Yeah.
But the reason I say that, some people may say, well, they don't need to be armed. It won't look good. Bad optics. But you got drug cartels down there. You're not just arresting five foot tall women.
I know.
Are drug cartels down there. And if one of our National Guardsmen die because they're unarmed down there and they get shot by a cartel, that's going to be bad also.
Yeah, it would be. I would imagine they would allow the National Guardsmen to, I don't know, maybe like Abe said, maybe call in the Border Patrol and or they may give them, they may let them carry weapons. I don't know for the reasons you just mentioned. We'll see how this works out. I mean, what exactly is going to happen by the quote military guarding our southern border, as President Trump said, and the Pentagon came back and clarified he meant the National Guard. Mm-hmm. Hey, one other question before we go to Josh McDowell in just a minute. Fred, you had a question for Abe.
A couple of days ago, Washington Post reported this, and now the Associated Press this morning has reported this. Special Counsel Robert Mueller has informed President Trump's attorneys that the president is not currently considered a criminal target in the Russia investigation. Speculation being is, you can be comfortable now, President Trump, come talk to us. So what would you advise President Trump if you got that kind of offer from
I would advise Attorney General Jeff Sessions to remind Bob Mueller of the scope of his authority. If you remember, when Jeff Sessions recused himself, he specifically did so for matters pertaining to and arising from the 2016 presidential election. The results of that narrow parameters of recusal means that anything else outside the scope of that recusal is still subjected to the authority of Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
Okay.
The reason why I bring that up is to remind Bob Mueller that he doesn't call the shots on anything else because he has not been appointed to do anything else. Any suggestions that Rod Rosenstein expanded the authority of the special counsel would again be false because Jeff Sessions' recusal was very narrow. And in fact, Paul Manafort has filed a motion to dismiss the charges filed against him for that very reason, that Bob Mueller does not have the authority to charge him for financial crimes from years ago.
Why hasn't Jeff Sessions done that?
That's a great question. That's a great question. And I think this would be a great time for him to do so, because I think it would lead to the conclusion of the special counsel's investigation, because anything he does outside of that scope, arguably, he's doing without any lawful authority.
Well, that needs to be done publicly so that the president doesn't have to fire Mueller. He just simply reins it in.
That's right.
And publicly now, everyone understands why the president is not going to talk to Robert Mueller about X, Y, and Z. He, if he decides to, is only going to talk to him about potential collusion with Russia.
That's exactly right. And I think that's a clean way of doing it without getting your hands muddy with any of the other political concerns.
Okay.
How close, when did this Mueller investigation of the Trump collusion with Russia start?
We're coming up on a year, right?
May? Well, remember, the FISA court stuff started even before then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. 2016.
2016 is when the FISA court stuff started.
Mm. But Mueller was April or May,
2017.
How long did you let this go on? You're President Trump.
I thought it should have been done by the end of the 2017. I'm not privy to the legal behind the scene things. But
again, if the president
question, I know, but
no, if the president follows this advice, then the final question for Bob Mueller is there anything else related to the Trump Russia collusion that you're investigating? The answer to that, if it's no, then you're done here. I mean, I think that's a clean way to suggest.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that this is the scope of your authority, and it's time for this to wrap up because you're not doing anything related to Russia.
Who
collusion
asked that
anymore.
Whose responsibility is
Jeff
it?
Sessions. Jeff Sessions could fire off a letter. He could read it publicly. He could do it in multiple ways.
I
have reminded Bob Mueller that the scope of his authority as special counsel pertains to all matters pertaining directly to or arising from the 2016 presidential election.
Okay.
And Russia. All I recuse myself from.
Right.
So
everything else is under my jurisdiction.
He has a constitutional obligation to direct and supervise. Well, anything
that's,
else.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that hasn't happened.
It needs to happen in the next day or two or three.
Yep.
It really does need to happen. Because I'm thinking this is an open-ended fishing expedition. Mm-hmm. And this could go on to the next.
Which is why I think Mueller said, hey, you're not. This is my theory, Abe. We'll direct this to the only lawyer in the room,
in the studio. Just a minute.
Yeah, I just think Robert Mueller said you're not under any kind of criminal investigation because then the president can't declare his Fifth Amendment rights.
That's exactly right.
And so you're not under, so you can't say I'm going to avail myself of the Fifth Amendment.
Wait a minute. Uh-huh. So what he's saying is I've been doing this a year. And I ain't got squat on you.
Yeah. But come and talk to me because I can develop something.
Yeah, that's what I think is happening.
This is so ridiculous.
It's corrupt.
Yeah.
It really is. Hmm. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. What time you come on this afternoon, Abe?
5:05 Central Standard Time is when we get the corner cracking.
All right. We'll see you then. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Abraham Hamilton III with us there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our guest now is our good friend Josh McDowell, who is very well known to our listening audience for many of the books he's written over the past few decades, and he's well known as one of the top Christian apologists of the 20th century. Josh's books have impacted millions of people's lives. He's got a brand new one. It's called Set Free to Choose Right. Set Free to Choose Right, and it's subtitled Equipping Today's Kids to Make Right Moral Choices for Life. Josh joins us now. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, Tim. I enjoyed the conversation went on in the last few minutes.
Well, thank you very much. Did I sound smart or did Abe sound smart, or could you tell the difference?
No, I actually, Abe sounded smart.
Did he?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your honesty there, Josh. It's been nice having you on today.
He sounded like he's more informed than you and me because that's one of his specialties.
Well, he is a constitutional attorney. That's why he knows more than us on these issues. Hey, tell us about your brand new book, Set Free to Choose Right.
Well, I've been working with young people for almost 50 years. And I realized, Tim, that right in the best of families, our kids know, for the most part, what is right and what is wrong. But they have no idea or inkling why it is right or why it is wrong. And when that happens, children are being raised legalistically. And that's one of the best ways to rob kids of their joy in Christ. I would say for the last 12, 15 years, I've asked maybe 400 pastors, laymen, students, do you believe lying is wrong? Yes. Why? Tim, almost every one of them says, because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. And I'm thinking, that's ridiculous. That's so unbiblical, it's pathetic. Nothing, absolutely nothing is morally right or wrong because the Bible says, thou shalt not. That's legalism. Here's the scenario. Is lying wrong because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, which almost all believers say yes? Or does the Bible say, thou shalt not lie because lying is wrong? But it's not wrong because the Bible says it, but the Bible says it because it is wrong. And the question is, then why is lying wrong? Why is killing wrong? Why is injustice wrong? Lying is wrong because it's contrary to the person, character, and nature of God. God is truth. Anything contrary to the nature of God is false. That which coincides with the person, character, and nature of God is right. And the Bible, how do we know that? The Bible. The Bible was never, ever given to be adored or worshipped. It was given as a book that we might adore and worship Him. And so many Christians today, I've seen pastors hold up the Bible and say, here you have life. And Jesus would yell out in that congregation, no, you don't. You say, how can you say that, Josh? Well, Jesus taught in the religious leaders. They were bragging that they were better off than the Gentiles because they had the oracles of God. They had the scriptures. Jesus said to them, in them you think you have life. He said, no, you have life in me. How do you know that? The Bible. The Bible is our God that we might worship Him. And when we take our children back to the person, character, and nature of God, we're raising our children out of a relationship, not out of legalism from a book. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible is not legalistic. But the way most people teach it, it becomes legalistic. So that's why I wrote the book, to help parents to understand themselves and then be able to pass it on to their children.
Josh, this is Ed here. So what you're pointing out is that lying and murder were wrong even before there were Ten Commandments, because, you know, you're dealing with Abraham, right. Isaac, and Jacob. It was still wrong because it was contrary to the nature of God. The law of Moses came to make certain things explicit to the nation that God was fashioning, but these things are wrong on a deserted island where people have never even heard of the law of Moses, right?
That's right, because God is.
Right.
And He gave us the law. The law is an expression of God's nature. I love the law. People say, well, how can you love the law? For this reason, the law is an expression of God's holy, just, righteous nature. I want to live according to God's holy, just, righteous nature. So how do I know how to do that? The law. I don't have to do it to be accepted. I do it because I want to be a follower of Christ.
So if you could share with our listeners, there's a really great story in here in your book. Again, we're talking to Josh McDowell, his new book, Set Free to Choose Right, Equipping Today's Kids to Make Right Moral Choices for Life. You were talking, I think it was one of your kids and you were asking about the 9/11 attacks, and then you went into a discussion about what the Nazis did. Could you kind of share that, how you brought that up in trying to go a little bit deeper about why we know certain things are wrong?
With that specific one, were you refreshing my mind a little?
Was it Heather, I think it was? You were talking about why you asked, do you think what they did on 9/11, where they flew into the buildings, was that wrong? And she said, yes, it was wrong. And you said, well, how do you know? And then you read something that they had read and they believed that told them that what they were doing was right. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I remember it vaguely. I got so many stories in there.
Okay. All right.
Tell me the story. You tell me the story.
Okay, well, you were talking with Heather, and then you talked about during World War II, the citizens of Hitler's Germany believe they were morally right to launch a war against their neighbors and purge their country of whoever they felt was inferior. That led to the 6 million innocent Jews. But Heather was still not getting why they were wrong in an ultimate sense. You recall that?
Yes. Heather's my youngest child.
Okay.
And I would often go back to the Nazis on many things.
Yeah.
Because most people thought that the killing of the Jews and all was right because it was a cultural decision. Within the German culture, they made the decision to annihilate the Jews. And therefore, it was right because their culture decided that. And this is where people today will justify things because that's what our culture does. And what I tried to do with Heather and my children is to raise them, no, culture is not the final determinant. It is the person, character, and nature of God that is the final determinant. Otherwise, see, what we have today, like even in that illustration, is a result of tolerance. Tolerance teaches that all values, beliefs, lifestyle, and claims to truth are equal. Multiculturalism is simply tolerance applied to culture, that all cultural values, beliefs, lifestyle, and claims to truth are equal. And I try to point out to my children, no, there's one thing above every single culture, value, belief, lifestyle, or claim to truth, and that's the person, character, and nature of God. This is why it's so, so important as parents that one of the first things we do with our children, it takes, you know, a couple years to do it. You start to relate to them who God is. Who is he? How do we know him by his attributes and all? And then in the book, what I do is show how with each attribute of God, how you can share with your children, how that leads you to make right choices in many situations. Otherwise, kids are making choices based upon their own feelings, which is culture today, not upon the person, character, and nature of God.
Hmm. We're talking to Josh McDowell. His new book is called Set Free to Choose Right, subtitle Equipping Today's Kids to Make Right Moral Choices for Life. And the book is available. Where can people get the book, Josh?
Oh, just go to setfreetochooseright.com, the title of the book.com. Go to your Christian bookstore, go to Amazon. But if you go to setfreetochooseright.com, you can download a lot of other material on the book that will help you with your children, all free, and you can download the 7 principles of building relationships with your children. Because talking about right and wrong without a loving, intimate relationship results in rebellion. It's the relationship that cultivates the ground to receive the truth that a parent speaks. So we put in there, Dottie and I wrote up these 7 A's from the scriptures, 7 principles to build those relationships that no matter how old your child is, it can start to transform the relationship. Setfreetochooseright.com.
Setfreetochooseright.com. Check out Josh's brand new book. Josh, thanks so much for being on with us, my friend, and
hey, I miss being in your offices, guys.
Yeah, you need to come over here and see us. We're still in the same place.
Yeah, next interview, let's do that.
All right. But don't wear that Lakers jersey you're always wearing.
Hey, I wear it because I like to cheer for the losers.
Yeah,
right?
The Lakers, boy, man, times have changed. The Lakers used to be the symbol of dominance.
Yep.
But times have changed.
Yep.
All right, Josh, take care.
Hey,
thank you so much.
You.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
It's Josh McDowell joining us. We've given away thousands and thousands of his book, More Than a Carpenter.
Right.
Which is,
I still have that in my library.
Yeah, excellent. Evidence That Demands a Verdict.
Mm-hmm.
Also, More Than a Carpenter. Every Christian needs to read that book. That's got to be one of the top 10.
A little thin.
Yeah. Doesn't take you a long
powerful,
time.
Powerful. Yeah. Powerful book.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short time out right here for news, and then we'll be back in 5 minutes with more. Tim, Ed, and Barker will be with us. Fred, thank you for your contribution.
Good to be here.
All right, and Steve Jordahl will be here in a few minutes. So 5 minutes from now, be right back here. We'll be.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.